By listening to this audio, you are agreeing to the terms and conditions found on drmackenziebrooks.com.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Mackenzie Brooks here. Welcome to Chapter 7 of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, Women's Work of Quickening, A Call to Action, brought to you by drmackenziebrooks.com, your source for continuous development and lifelong learning. Each of the 13 Cherry Pits for Our Minds has been handpicked by me from the many thousands of hours of conversational journeys that I have had and continue to have with the most incredible women as their coach, counselor, and workshop facilitator. I chose the name Web Workshop intentionally. During each chapter, I will be stopping at different points in my presentation and inviting you to reflect upon certain questions. When I do, you might want to pause the recording while you reflect upon your thoughts and start it again when you are ready. You might consider having something close at hand that you can use to write down your own thoughts. I am inviting you to think about our time together as an online workshop. Now, I would like to introduce you to Cherry Pit number 7. Cherry Pit number 7 is Adversity is Life's Teacher. Adversity is Life's Teacher. We have all faced adversity at different times in our lives, whether it is adversity that we have chosen and whether it is adversity that life has placed in our path. I want you to know that I am aware that when I explore adversity in this chapter, that it will call into our minds thoughts, memories, and feelings that go hand in hand with our own adverse life situations. Please ensure that you have your own support systems, such as a counselor, coach, a mentor, an elder, in place to support you as you journey through the life learnings offered in this chapter. Learning to navigate through and live with life's adversities is an essential life skill. I'm going to stop now and invite you to reflect upon the following questions. Before I do, I want to remind you that I'm inviting you to pay attention to the thoughts that enter your mind when I ask each question, and to observe, reflect upon, and to entertain these thoughts. Please observe these thoughts objectively and without judgment. I'm inviting you to remember that we have no choice about learning, downloading, and programming into our GPS for life what we live as we journey through our childhood. We are not to blame, nor are we responsible for what has been programmed into our GPS for life. We are responsible, though, and do have a choice about what we do with what we have learned now that we are adults, which is what you are now doing by participating in Cherry Pits for Our Minds. Question number 1. What thoughts enter your mind when you hear the word adversity? What thoughts enter your mind when you hear the word adversity? Question number 2. What does the word adversity mean to you? What does the word adversity mean to you? Adversity is generally thought of as an undesired and unchosen life event that life places in our path, and we are now compelled to learn and update into our GPS for life what we require to know in order to navigate this adversity which is now in our life. Adversity also goes hand in hand with certain types of opportunities which we desire and seek out. For example, athletes training for the Olympics, scientists doing field research in Antarctica, adventurers climbing Mount Everest, sailing around the world, walking, running, and bicycling across many countries. These are all activities that individuals seek out and choose to learn what they are required to learn to accomplish their chosen goal. Their chosen journey is often full of hardships and adversities, which require these individuals to dig deep within themselves to find what they require to continue on their chosen journey. Choosing activities that place us on adversity's path as compared to unchosen adversity placed on our path by life are fundamentally different in one basic way. We do not consciously seek out unchosen adversity, as we are doing when we choose to engage in certain activities that place us in unknown and potentially adverse situations. This distinction is fundamental at a core level of our being, for in the first example, we are choosing to walk this life's path, and in the second example, we are being knocked out of our life's path and compelled to learn how to navigate another life path. In Chapter 5, I shared with you the example of one young woman who had been a passenger in a vehicle involved in a devastating crash, who I think said it best when she said, "It was like someone reached into my life, ripped it from me, and threw it in the wastebasket and said, 'Here, now, live this life.'" We have a different set of beliefs about and relationship with chosen adversity than we do with unchosen adversity. While we still have to learn how to navigate the adversity in both cases, how we ended up in the adverse situation we now find ourselves navigating requires us to engage in two different types of searches to make sense of what is now in our life. While both these internal searches to find meaning in what we are now navigating in our life are similar, in that both require us to engage in an internal search for meaning, they are fundamentally different in the how we ended up in this situation in the first place. In the first example, we made a conscious choice to set out on this life path, and in the second example, we find ourselves navigating a path not of our choosing. We find ourselves navigating a path created by life happening after we make our plans. Many of us, when finding ourselves navigating adversity, chosen and unchosen, seek out a counselor or a coach to partner with as we navigate this part of our life's journey. Navigating adversity provides us with a window into what we currently have programmed into our GPS for life. We discover what we have learned that is working for us and what we have learned that is not working for us. And we quickly see what is missing, what we did not learn that would have been extremely useful during these times of adversity. Some of us at different times in our lives have felt overwhelmed, perhaps even had our breath taken away, and were brought to our knees by the life circumstances we've had to navigate through, and perhaps are still currently navigating. Some of us have discovered how to take the lemons that life has offered us and made lemonade, lemon pies and lemon squares, and some of us have even taken the seeds of life and learning residing within life's adversities, planted them, and now have a cognitive orchard that serves us and serves others as well. Adverse circumstances challenge us, even when we have chosen the adversity we are now navigating. Ask any Olympic athlete, mountain climber, and person who has sailed around the world. Navigating adversity, chosen and unchosen, requires us, compels us, to seek out new learning, even when we are not aware that we are doing so, Adversity compels us to assess what we have learned and to seek out and update into our GPS for life what we are required to learn to navigate our new now. While our lives in the outer world can change in a second, the transition that we go through in our inner world always takes time, often measured in years. We cannot avoid transition as much as we may really want to, and we cannot fast-track transition. Transition is the inner experience of our outer life. When our inner and outer lives dance together, we experience life as working for us. When our outer lives and our inner lives are completely out of sync with each other, then we have a very difficult time updating our GPS for life to navigate our new now. Regardless, transition from what was to what now is takes time, lots and lots of time. I am inviting you to please remember this. When our inner and outer lives dance together, we experience life as working for us. When our outer lives and our inner lives are completely out of sync with each other, then we have a very difficult time updating our GPS for life to navigate our new now. Regardless, transition from what was to what now is takes time, lots and lots of time. I am inviting you to please remember this. Some of us choose not to seek out the learning necessary to navigate this new path that life has placed our lives on. Some of us refuse, by choice, to update our GPS for life to this new now. That is a choice we have to make when we find ourselves living a new life, not of our choosing. We each have that choice to make. We each have a right to make that choice. Over the years, I've conducted several informal polls by asking anyone who crossed my path at those times whatever question I was seeking to gather information about. One of the questions that I asked during one of those polls was, "How do you know when you're a grown-up?" I'm going to stop now and invite you to entertain those very same questions. Please ask yourself, "How do I know when I'm a grown-up?" And question number two, "Am I a grown-up now? Am I a grown-up now?" I received a variety of answers, each one unique to the person I asked, including, "I don't know. I've never thought about it before. I have no idea." Other answers included, "When I have a full-time job, when I can pay my bills, when I get married, when I have a family," as well as answers that address some variation of, "When I can cope with life." Basically, what I came away from this informal poll was a theme that emerged from the answers, which goes something like this: "When I can manage my life." My understanding emerging from these conversations was that knowing that I can manage my life is very different from trying to control life to conform to my wishes and desires. The theme emerging in the answer seemed to be, "When I know that I can handle whatever life dishes up to me, regardless of my fears, will be when I know that I am a grown-up." Now, I love conducting these little polls. I learn so much. The question I was seeking some information on, given the kind of work that I do, was, "How do we grow up?" which was and is a question and a conversation topic that emerges frequently in both the counseling and coaching conversational journeys that I shared with both women and men over the years. This question eventually led to the poll question, "How do I know when I am growing up?" FYI, there were additional questions that I asked as part of this particular poll, and they were, "Have you ever met someone who you thought was a grown-up? If yes, who was that person? And how come you thought that person was a grown-up?" I'm going to stop here for a moment and invite you to reflect upon these questions for yourself. Have you ever met someone who you thought was a grown-up? Question number two, if yes, who was that person? Question number three, how come you thought they were a grown-up? What I discovered was that most of us have no idea and often have a pretty confused idea of what a grown-up is, never mind how to become one. Many of us spend our lives growing older and never growing up. We become adults in years only. Many of us remain at a certain age inside ourselves, regardless of how old we become in years. For some of us, we remain the same age inside as we were in high school. For some of us, it is when we were 11 or 12 years old and even younger, when we experienced ourselves as being strong and capable and confident pre-adolescent girls, before we were compelled to enter what can be the awkward teen years, when we go from being that confident 12-year-old girl into a self-conscious adolescent girl. For some of us, it is how we were in our 20s, and on it goes. It seems to me that each of us have some point in time during our life's journey which we continue to identify with, no matter how many years have passed, whether a positive and pleasant time in our lives or a negative and unpleasant time in our lives. It does not seem to matter. Our GPS for life is currently still operating from what was learned, downloaded, programmed, and updated at that time in our lives. You might be wondering how come I'm talking about becoming a grown-up when I'm supposed to be talking about adversity. Here's how come. Regarding my informal poll question, how do you know when you're growing up? You may recall that earlier I said, a theme emerging in the answers I received was, when I can manage my life. So how do we know when someone is a grown-up? In my words, based on my informal poll and all the other conversational journeys that I have been on, a grown-up is someone who sees what needs to be seen, faces what needs to be faced, does what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and seeks out whatever support is needed to navigate through what needs to be navigated through. Becoming a grown-up requires that we are learning what we are required to learn, to do what we are required to do, when we are required to do it. This, of course, requires us to learn new things, which requires us to leave Familiarville, which requires us to leave behind whatever time in our life that we are currently identified with, and to update our GPS for life, our operating system for life, our cognitive closet, to be more in alignment with who we seek, who we choose, and who we desire to be at this time in our life's journey, to become a grown-up. To become a grown-up requires us to leave behind being a child, to leave behind being an adolescent, and to leave behind being a young adult. For these times in our journey through life are all stopping stations, learning stations, that we travel on life's train to a learning station called grown-up. We are not meant to depart from life's train at the learning station called adolescence and remain there. We are meant to reboard life's train and journey to the next learning station and to the next learning station. We are meant to continue updating our GPS for life to be more in alignment with whatever stage we currently are at in our life's journey. I'm going to add one additional thought that I am inviting you to invite in for tea and entertain, and that is that a grown-up is also someone who does what is best for the greater good. not just what she and he wishes for and desires for herself and perhaps for others who are important to her and him, regardless of its impact on others and at the expense of others in both the present and the future. Based upon the thousands of conversational journeys that I have had the privilege of joining as both a coach and a counselor, understanding that these conversations were with individuals who resonated with how I approach these conversations, it emerged over and over again that benefiting at the expense of others, whether in the present and in the future, was a not working. And in fact, impacted how well she and he slept at night. What became clear to me is that we cannot grow up. We do not feel grown up until we know that no matter what life dishes out to us, that we will find some way, somehow, to navigate through and live with whatever life places in our path. And that while we work to enhance our lives, we will not try to control life to conform to our own desires and wishes, that we will make choices that are for the greater good for both present and future generations, and not simply because we will benefit from it ourselves. And for some of us, making choices based on what is best for the greater good and not for ourselves is a completely new thought. It is not something that we have thought about before. Without this thought seed, without this contextual framework updated into our GPS, which guides us in our decision-making, in what we say yes to and what we say no to, without this, we are like corks in a pond being blown around in whatever direction the wind blows. In whatever direction GPS for life programmers for hire wish us to go. We are at the mercy of our past programmers and at the mercy of the current breed of GPS for life programmers for hire, whose mission is to program our operating system for life to serve them. Once we update our GPS for life with how we want to respond to life's adversities, we now have a little outboard motor on our cork in the pond, and when the wind blows, especially when it blows hard, we may still get blown around for a while, and then we begin to gain momentum, heading in the direction that we choose to go, because we now have our life course, our moral compass, our little motor to motor us. We get to choose how we respond whenever we are buffeted by the winds of life's adversities, chosen and unchosen. Every time we update our GPS for life with how we want to respond to life's adversities, we strengthen our motor. We increase the power in our motor so that the next time the wind blows hard, we are blown about less and our motor keeps putting along in our chosen direction and not in the direction of the current breed of GPS for life programmers for hire. Based on what I now know, knowing that there is much that I don't know, it is my current assessment that there is no other way to learn, download, and update into our GPS for life this knowing, this confidence, this faith, that no matter what life places in our path, including adversity, we can find some way, somehow, a way to navigate through and live with life's adversity, and that we will act in ways that allow us to sleep well at nights. Navigating through life's adversities compels us, requires us, calls out to us to make a choice about what and how we update into our GPS for life. We do have that choice to make. What we do with that choice is up to each of us. When we become aware that what is currently programmed into our GPS for life is not working for us. Some of us seek ways to avoid doing what is necessary, to learn what we are required to learn, to create choice in our lives. Some of us consciously and unconsciously choose to maintain what is programmed into our GPS for life and engage in activities that facilitate staying the same, such as avoiding, procrastinating, and self-medicating with drugs and alcohol, to name a few, even when it is obvious that these actions are not working for us. Others choose to seek out the experiences we require to learn what we require to learn, download and update into our GPS for life, our chosen thoughts, which are more in alignment with who we choose and are called to be at this stage in our life's journey, given the world we now find ourselves navigating. How do we do this? In order to do this, we are required to separate from, to split off from, how we may be personally feeling and what we personally may want at those moments in time. For example, even mums and dads need to separate from their personal feelings at times when, as a parent, we know that we need to say no to our child, whom we dearly love, knowing that when we say no, we will be hurting our child's feelings, perhaps deeply disappointing her or him, and even affecting how our child feels about us in the moment. How many times have we heard, "I hate you," from our child after we have said no, and all we are doing is what a parent is supposed to do, fulfilling a role, doing our job as a protector, a mentor, a guide and a coach for our children. And yet, as a mom and dad, it hurts our hearts to have to be the parent at those times, to have to be the grown-up at those times. Adversity is an inevitable part of our life's journey, whether chosen and unchosen. It is essential that we seek out and choose for ourselves how we want to show up when faced with adversity that we encounter on our life's journey. It is our choice whether we seek out learning opportunities to update our GPS for life to be more in alignment with who and how we choose, desire, and are being called to show up when faced with adversity. Learning how we want to show up when faced with life's difficulties and challenges, which is in alignment with who we choose to be at this stage in our life's journey, is one of the many steps we are required to take on our journey to becoming a grown-up. It is my thought that the world that we now live in has a great need for many, many more grown-ups. That the world we live in is heavily populated with people who have power to make far-reaching decisions because they have money and or they have authority to make decisions based on their position, whether elected or not, and not based on being a grown-up. Many of these individuals are adults in years only. My thought is that the world is in dire need of more grown-up individuals who will make decisions as grown-ups, who will make decisions that are in the best interest of the greater good, of the many, and not in the best interest of themselves and of the few. A grown-up is someone who sees what needs to be seen, faces what needs to be faced, does what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and seeks out whatever support is needed to navigate through what needs to be navigated through. A grown-up leaves behind being a child. A grown-up leaves behind being an adolescent. A grown-up leaves behind being a young adult. For these times in our journey through life are all stopping stations, learning stations that we are meant to travel through on life's train to a learning station called grown-up. We are not meant to depart life's learning train at adolescence and remain there. We are meant to get back on life's learning train and continue on to the stop called grown-up. A grown-up is also someone who does what is best for the greater good, not just what she or he wishes for and desires, not just for a lifestyle for herself and perhaps for others who are important to her and him, regardless of its impact on others, and at the expense of others, both in the present and in the future. We are all inspired by stories, books, and movies about individuals who are faced with insurmountable odds, who are faced with some of life's most challenging and saddest experiences, and whose strength, courage, and determination is dauntless in the face of these adversities. We read about these individuals, we read their books, and we watch the movies about their lives, and we admire them, we respect them, and we're deeply moved by these individuals. How come? One thought that I have is that at some level we recognize that these individuals who are navigating life's adversities with dignity and with courage are our teachers, and that they now have something to teach us. They know something that we need to know, that we want to know, that we want to learn, and this something includes a mindset, what I'm calling a GPS for life, which informs and drives how we show up in life when we're faced with life's adversity, with life's challenges, with life's difficulties, and with acts of evil and selfishness by others. Learning about individuals who are navigating through and living with life's adversity with courage, with strength, and with dignity inspires us in many ways, inspires us to dig deeper inside ourselves, inspires us to try harder, even when we're currently free of life's adversities at this moment in time. Discovering how others navigate through and live with adversity provides us with a learning opportunity. If we choose to seek out this learning opportunity, if we choose to learn from these teachers, their life learnings that they are now sharing with us, we can update their life learnings into our own GPS for life. We can update our own GPS for life for how we want to show up when faced with life's adversities, chosen and unchosen, when we are faced with life happening after we make our plan. Adversity is an inevitable part of our life's journey, whether chosen and unchosen. We meet adversity when life happens after we make our plans. The thought that I am inviting you to invite in and entertain for tea is that it is essential that we seek out and choose for ourselves how we want to show up when faced with the adversity that we will encounter on our life's journey. I have a memory of working with a male client many years ago who sought out counseling to talk about an undesired life event that had occurred about a year before he came to see me. The undesired life event that occurred was abrupt, horrific, and tragic. The event happened so sudden that he did not have any time at all to think before he acted. This client sought out counseling because of how he acted, because of how he did show up in the face of being blindsided by adversity. From his point of view, how he showed up during that event was completely out of alignment with who he thought he was and how he had previously thought he would show up in such a situation. He was having a great deal of difficulty living with himself and could not stop thinking about how he behaved during that event and could not shake off the shame he felt. This young man had the strength and the courage to seek out the support he needed as he began the process of learning how to update his own GPS for life by seeking out the experiences and the learning that were more in alignment with his own chosen and desired self at this stage in his life's journey. consciously choosing for ourselves how we want to show up when faced with adversity, chosen and unchosen, is one of the many life learnings required on our journey to becoming a grown-up. Choosing for ourselves how we desire to respond when faced with life's adversity strengthens us, hones us, and forges a relationship with our inner self that enhances confidence, competence, and is a key step on our journey to becoming a grown-up. After learning that he had terminal cancer, Carnegie Mellon professor and alumnus Randy Pausch decided to make his final lecture about the most important lessons that he had learned in his life. On the 18th of September in 2007, he delivered a one-of-a-kind last lecture that made the world stop and pay attention. He became an internet sensation, viewed by millions, an international media story, and a best-selling book that has been published in more than 35 languages. The name of his last lecture was The Last Lecture, Achieving Your Childhood Dreams. The basic theme in his presentation was, we do not have choice about the cards we are dealt. We only have choice about how we play the hand that we are dealt. Adversity is like the kiln of life. Just as we place the clay pot in the hot fires of the kiln, we are placed in adversity's kiln of life. And we, like pots, have to endure the fires of adversity. And the hot fires go on and on at times. And as we know, some pots crack, some pots chip, and some pots completely crack open. We are like those pots. Only we have a choice, which the pots don't have, about how we navigate through life's adversity, through life's kiln. The pots that make it whole through the fires emerge from the kiln honed, stronger, and more durable. Some clay pots that women fired in holes in the ground more than 5,000 years ago have been found undamaged 5,000 years later. And this is only possible because the pot endured the fires of the kiln and was transformed in the process. The same is true for us. We are all transformed in one way or another by the kiln of life called adversity. I am now inviting you to reflect upon the following three questions. Question number one, how come cherry pit number seven, adversity is life's teacher, is important? Question number two, how come this cherry pit and these thoughts are important to me? And question number three, how come this cherry pit and these thoughts are important to women, to grandmothers, to mothers, to daughters, to sisters, to aunts? We are now at the end of chapter seven of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, where I invited you to invite in for tea and entertain, in addition to other thoughts, number seven of 13 hand-picked cherry pits. Cherry pit number seven is, adversity is life's teacher. In closing, I'm inviting you to reflect upon the thoughts that I have entertained in this chapter. First, though, I would like to remind you of the cherry pits for our minds that I have introduced you to so far. Cherry pit number one, we learn what we live and live what we learn until we do something about it. Cherry pit number two, we are all going to drop the ball and make mistakes. Cherry pit number three, listen to understand, not to agree and disagree. Cherry pit number four, we don't know what we don't know. Cherry pit number five, Life happens after we make our plans. Cherry pit number 6, think your own thoughts. Cherry pit number 7, adversity is life's teacher. Thoughts we reflected upon and entertained during this chapter include: we all face adversity at different times in our lives, whether it is adversity that we have chosen and whether it is adversity that life has placed in our path. Many of us, when finding ourselves navigating adversity, chosen and unchosen, seek out a counselor or a coach to partner with us as we navigate this part of our life's journey. Navigating adversity offers us a window into what is currently programmed into our GPS for life. What works for us, what does not work for us, and what allows us to see what is missing, what we did not learn, that would have been extremely useful during these times of adversity. Choosing for ourselves how we desire to respond when faced with life's adversities strengthens us, hones us, and forges a relationship with our inner self that enhances confidence, competence, and is a key step on our journey to being a grown-up. We are all transformed in one way or another by the kiln of life called adversity. To become a grown-up requires us to leave behind being a child, to leave behind being an adolescent, and to leave behind being a young adult. For these times in our journey through life are all stopping stations, learning stations, that we travel through on life's train to a learning station called grown-up. We are not meant to depart life's learning station at adolescence and remain there. We are meant to get back on life's learning train and continue onto the stop called grown-up. A grown-up is someone who sees what needs to be seen, faces what needs to be faced, does what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and seeks out whatever support is needed to navigate through what needs to be navigated through. A grown-up is someone who does what is best for the greater good, not just what she wishes for and desires, not just for lifestyle for herself, and perhaps for others who are important to her, regardless of its impact on others, and at the expense of others, both in the present and in the future. My thought is that the world is in dire need of more grown-up individuals who will make decisions as grown-ups, who will make decisions that are in the best interest of the greater good, of the many, and not in the interest of themselves and of the few. I'm inviting you to invite these thoughts in for tea and to entertain these thoughts as you would a guest, knowing that these thoughts will leave as all guests eventually do, and perhaps you might reflect upon these thoughts. Perhaps you might entertain these thoughts for yourself so that you can assess for yourself whether or not these thoughts resonate for you, whether or not these thoughts fit for you, whether or not these thoughts work for who and where you are at this time in your life's journey, given who you choose to be and given who you were born to be here on this earth at this time. And if these thoughts do resonate for you, if these thoughts do fit for you, if these thoughts do work for you, then perhaps you might consider asking them to stay. I thank you for joining with me as I reflect upon these hand-picked cherry pits for our minds. Goodbye for now.